But for one thing, Patricia, I'm going to correct you because part of the message today is about love and truth. I did not yell at Trisha. I just said, let's go, Trish. Today we have a special guest, a friend, part of our Catalyst family from Korea, Pastor Peter Han. And I love and appreciate Peter so much because he's spoken, I believe he's spoken from the Lord to me personally, to our elders, to our church in many different ways that's helped shape and helped us discern God's direction for us. And I met with him the other day, just great time just of sharing, hearing what the Lord's been doing, some awesome things in his life. But I really sense the Lord has, through Peter, a word for us from the Lord, a word of encouragement, affirmation, just exhortation. So I asked Peter to just come up and share a word of the Lord with us.
I promise, Barry, I will make it quick. I will be quick. You know, as I was looking for the address of the church facility, and then I went to the website yesterday, and then looking up the address, I was familiar with the term Freedom Center. But as I was looking church, there was no mentioning of church. I saw the name Kingdom Center. Wow. I was blown away. This is the actual vision that the Lord spoke to me in very year of 2011 as I was in Israel, that God has established his kingdom center in a city that he has appointed. And now, after 14 years or 15 years, I'm here to witness that you are the kingdom center. What is the kingdom center? It is the dwelling place of God. You know, Eden was a dwelling place of God. The tabernacle of Moses was a dwelling place of God. The tabernacle of David was a dwelling place of God. The first temple, the second temple was the dwelling place of God. God desires to dwell among us. That's it. His kingdom center. Where he is going to be present, where he is going to be ruling and reigning upon his people, upon the living stones that he has called you to be, to build that kingdom center. But in order for that to happen, in order you to become a living stone, he wants to restore you to the original image and likeness of God so that you can co-create with God. What is co-creating with God? You do not ask anymore the permission of the Lord. You do. You just live it out. Why? Because you cannot do anything else than what the Father is doing. That's the example of Jesus Christ. You do not try to do something. You just do. You know it. Why? Because you are completely restored in the likeness and the image of the Lord. And that's one of my small story that I wanted to share, what has happened over the course of 5 days. I think I have to share that, Barry, to end that story. Many people know my testimony, but many people, I believe 99.9%, do not know the details of my stories. There are things that I cannot share publicly. It's something that also my wife didn't know for many, many years. Things that has happened back in Korea as I was a child, and then especially during the time as I was living in Germany. It's beyond human understanding what has happened to cope with it. So even though I was walking with the Lord with wonders and signs and miracles and you name it. But there was something imprinted inside of me as a Peter Han. I wanted to say multiple Peter Han who was established in order to survive those moments of trauma and disaster. And I will not go detail into those traumas and disaster. But I believe God knows the time in order to restore you, because those traumas and disasters that you carry will be triggered on a certain occasion. And you wonder and you are surprised, why is this still happening? And that was me. That was completely me. Back in last year, May, I was invited. I got an email from Pastor Barry. Peter, could you swing over to Bob's house and meet with Pastor Dean Fujishima from Hawaii? And since I knew Pastor Dean since 2011, I said, wow, it's great time to be connected. So I went in order to see Pastor Dean, but I also, Pastor Dean was introducing me, this is my daughter, and I know Carrie and Dean, right? They are Asian. And so Pastor Dean says, this is my daughter, and she was completely Caucasian, blonde hair. Doesn't make sense. I know that they do not have a child, but since when did they have a child? And then I was like trying to cope with this whole situation. What do they mean with this daughter? And then they were speaking something and sharing something, and I exactly knew who she was. And some of you know the story of Hannah, right? In detail. But she didn't have to talk much. I was able to connect with her in spirit in a way that you understand. You completely know where this person is coming from. She doesn't have to speak much. So that was the opening of this encounter. And then a couple months later, in the month of October, the Lord was speaking to me, go to Hawaii and see Dean. I submitted to the request of the Lord, since I was visiting anyway the state. And then so I swing over to the state of Hawaii, and I was meeting up with Pastor Dean, right? And Pastor Dean discovered something in me, that there are multiple Peters. Anyway, I think this is the job and the assignment of Pastor Barry to do with you guys. I'm not going to deal with you guys, but this multiple, you know, personality who was trying to, you know, hide away, who are trying to, you know, survive those traumas and dramas that I have gone through in Germany, okay, in an extreme way. And it was discovered, and I thought, since it's discovered and since it's unleashed and prayed over, I'm done with it. And I said, I'm good, because the Lord has done it, right? Without understanding that I have to revisit and intently deal with it. And then I also spoke to Dean, because Hannah felt that she might be willing to visit Germany. And you know how she was brought to the outside of Germany, right? And so I said, whenever you feel the calling of the Lord to be in Germany, I wanted to be your guide. Couple weeks later, Pastor Dean texts me, Peter, when are you going to be in Germany? I didn't expect that fast. And I said, Pastor Dean, when are you expecting to be there? Give me a date and I will adjust to your date. And I was looking up my calendar, and then May, how about April? And then the Lord was speaking to me, Passover. Pesach, the Passover time, the 1 week Passover time of the Jewish calendar. And I said, okay. And I was speaking to Pastor Dean. The Lord says, we have to be there in the Passover time. Would you be able to come? And I was scheduling my meetings around those days. And then we went to Germany. The Lord was giving strategically to me cities to visit. And as we were entering into these cities, things were unlocking. Unlocking what? Hannah was sharing what has happened in those cities. But it was not a cold place. It was high government places. You know, places where justice and righteousness should be expressed. But behind that curtain, things were happening beyond our understanding. They know that their powers are not drawn in the power of the man, but that they have to draw from those high places. You know, for me, it was a shocking moment because I lived in that nation. I understood what these places supposed to be, but with the real story, what has happened in those places, something was triggered. Something was unleashed that I was not able to handle it. I came back to Korea in the month of June. I felt this deep pressure of anxiety and fear that I was not able to manage. And I said, wow, it's because of this, all the travel that I'm doing. So I will take off the month of July. But it got worse. Month of August came. It got worse. I couldn't manage myself. So I was putting all my symptoms into, you know, ChatGPT and you name it, right? All this psychological app. And it was prompting PTSD. Please, please go to a, you know, psychological doctor. So I was speaking to myself. If I visit a psychologist, he will ask, do you hear voices? What should I say? Of course I hear voices. How long have it been that you were hearing those voices? Since 18, since I met the Lord. Do you see things? Oh yeah, I see a lot of things. What would be their diagnosis? Right? Done deal. He is ready for the mental hospital. Very severe. There was no pastors who were able to understand where I was coming from. With the details, the things that has happened. So there was no person on earth that I said, Lord, I can open up. Beginning of September, the Lord started to speak again. Visit Dean. See Dean. I resisted. I said, God, I dealt with that. I don't need that again. Am I that broken? Am I that worse that I need someone? I know how to deal with it. Just you do what I need and I will be okay. But I was wrestling with the Lord. Ultimately, I nudged in because I was beyond recovery. I submitted to the Lord, and I went to see Dean just the past week. Things has opened up in a way that God was dealing with me to finalize that has to be finalized. But after all the session, you know, here is on our final day as we were debriefing, right? This is the climax of the Lord. Hannah stood up and she came before me and she knelt and she was apologizing on behalf of Germany. Please understand, with the things that has happened to her in Germany, it is not possible. But because of the trip back in May last year, that God has fully restored her. And I was able to help her in her restoration process. Now she is helping me to restore me back to the image and likeness that God wants to be. She was speaking to me in German and apologizing that I was not able to handle, but it was fulfilling and filling in the gap that it was open. And then Dean came up. I said, did they made up this? I mean, what is going on, right? But it was completely Holy Spirit. And then speaking to me as a spiritual father and apologizing. And then Carrie said, ha, it's my turn. You know Carrie, right? And then she came up and then apologizing as a mother, making it complete. This is what God wants to do in your life. I think we are living in an ages and a time and season where anxiety and fear became common. But I say, no, it's not common. Where you are so pressured that you cannot do anymore what you're supposed to do. But God is saying he wants to restore. He wants to have you back in the original image and likeness of God. Not 90%, not 95%. He wants to have it 100%. He wants to have a clean heart and pure heart. A clean hand and a pure heart. Not budging in what the society and the world is saying, but completely transform in order to build his kingdom center with his people as a living stone. And the foundation will be our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach. And I'm excited for Catalyst because I can see it, that it is going to happen here. That it is going to happen not just for Catalyst, but this is going to be a kingdom center for this region, for this state, and furthermore, for this nation of United States of America. God be with you. God bless you guys. Continue the journey that the Lord has started, and he will finish the race with you guys. Amen.
Thanks. Just for some context, some of you don't know Pastor Dean and Carrie Fujishima. They're pastors in Hawaii. And they, not too long ago, adopted a daughter. She's 30-something now, but they kind of adopted. They've adopted, but it's not legally, but spiritually. They've formally adopted her as their daughter. And some of you know her story, some of you don't, but basically, her story is that she has been through, from what I've heard, from what I know, from talking to her, some of the worst sexual abuse, trauma, human trafficking, satanic ritual abuse. It is by far the worst. Her story is the worst I've ever heard, and it's beyond imagination. So I met her probably about 8 or 9 years ago, and at that time, you could just see like a dark cloud, like depression, like just upon her. But because, and it's a whole story, but because of the commitment of Pastor Dean and Pastor Carrie, because God said, I want you to love her and walk with her. And they did not know, it was beyond them to know how to get her the healing and help that she needed. But they committed, they walked with her through that whole time. If you see her today, some of you seen her today, you would have no suspicion that she had been with this. She is the most joyful, full of life, just exuberant. She's just an amazing person. I've told her many, many times, she is the most courageous person I know. I know. Because for all the past, she's had to go back and address it and face it and walk it through with the Lord. But it was because of the love of the Lord from his spirit to her, and because of the love of Dean and Carrie and their church family for her, the transformation and the healing in her life is incredible. When I look at her today, compared to what I saw, met her when I first met her, and knowing her story, you really are in awe of the power of Jesus and the power of Jesus' love. God's love demonstrated through Jesus is the most powerful thing, most healing, transformative, redeeming thing in all the universe. In all the universe. And so thank you for sharing. I know he had to make it short and try to encapsulate it, but for me, it's an example of the love of God. The love of God that's very different than the love that the world talks about. Because the love of the Lord is grounded in truth, in the truth of who God himself is. And so we're continuing our series on 1 John. We're in chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. Let me share this. Dear friends, this is the opening, verse 7. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. You know, the Bible talks a lot about love. It's at the heart of the message of the gospel. The Bible speaks a lot about love, and it even says true love. If we have true love, you and I will love our enemies. Our enemies. So, in the spirit of God's love, out of obedience to God's word, I want to congratulate the Los Angeles Dodgers and all of you Dodger fans. Oh, that was hard. That's painful. Last Sunday, I was talking with Uncle Jesse. Uncle Jesse, right there. Uncle Jesse's back there. Last Sunday, I was talking with Uncle Jesse, and we were consoling each other because I am a diehard Giants fan. He is a diehard San Diego Padres fan, and we were consoling each other, commiserating all throughout the playoffs. We were going, come on, the Dodgers got to lose. They're our enemy, right? You know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So we were friends. We were joined together. And I told them, looking around the church last week, I go, Jesse, we are surrounded by Dodger blue and Dodger gear. And you know what he said to me? He goes, I know, it's hurting my eyes. But God's love, true love, even loves one's enemies and prays for those who persecute us or you. And it takes knowing God and experiencing his love to be able to have a love like that. It can only come from one place and one person. It's from knowing and experiencing God's love. You know, the world does not and cannot understand that kind of love, because God's agape love and the world's idea of love are very different. They're very different. In a nutshell, I believe worldly love is all about fully, completely accepting the other person. It's about compassion. It's about empathy. But it's about acceptance, compassion, empathy without being grounded in truth. It's at all costs. You accept, you love, you have compassion for, you have empathy for at all costs without credence to the truth. To the truth. Here's a video I want to show you. And in this clip, there's someone that wants love but does not want to hear the truth. Let's watch.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me. And I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head. And it's relentless. And I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen. No,
see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like there's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
Yeah, that sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, come on, if you would just...
Don't!
Try to see things my way. Do I have to keep on talking?
Now, husband, settle down. Settle down, because we do need to give understanding and empathy and resist the temptation to jump automatically to problem solving. However, those things without truth, it's not love. It's the world's version of love, but it is not love. It is not God's love. Did you know that there is a wrong kind of love? A love that is motivated by fleshly compassion, fleshly mercy, or human-only empathy. You know, there's a book by, I know some of you follow Ali Beth Stuckey. There's a book she wrote recently. It's called Toxic Empathy. And in the world today, there is a lot of toxic, fleshly, ungodly empathy and compassion and mercy. 1 John 2:15 says this, "Do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you." It's very interesting about this verse because it says, "Do not love this world." And you would think the word for love in that first phrase would be some other Greek word behind it. But it's the word agape. So this phrase says, "Do not agape the world." That's God's love, agape. Do not agape the world or the things it offers you. Because if you agape, love the world, the love, the agape, the true love of the Father is not in you. What this says is there's a wrong, false love. The love for the world, that is a wrong, false love, because loving something or loving someone in a way that God did not intend you or us to love is a wrong kind of love. In fact, it is a sinful love. Truth brings proper boundaries to love, so that it is indeed the kind of love, the type of love, the quality of love that God intends for us, the true love of God. And so we're just going to go through a passage that, like I said, is 1 John 4, 7 through 21. And I think for the sake of time, I was going to read the whole passage, but I think for the sake of time, we'll move on. But in this passage, God gives us the definition of love. It's in verse 10. This is verse 10 in that passage. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. So first part, first phrase in this verse, it says, this is real love. So God, through the Apostle John, is saying, this is the definition of true love. This is what true love is really about. I'm going to tell you and give you a definition of love right here. He goes on. It's not that we love God. So true love is not defined by us. It's not a human action. It's not about our understanding or our perception of love. And he goes on. Not that we love God, but that God loved us. See, true love is defined by God. God establishes. God defines. God is the center, the dictionary of what true love is about. It's what he says love is. And he must reveal it to us. Because humanly, we have no understanding of what his true love is. He must reveal it to us. He must tell us. He must show us what real love is, because we on our own will not get it, will not understand it, because it comes from him. And he says, this is what true love looks like. It says, he sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. The greatest expression of God's love, God's agape, is in the act of God sending Jesus to give his life for us. Now think about that. God says, this is what true love is. Me sending my son to die and give his life for you. You think that is the definition of love? It's not warm and fuzzy. It's not romantic. Sunset walk along the beach. Right? It doesn't look like those things. It involves sacrifice. It involves completely giving to the person for their good, their well-being, their welfare. And it might involve some pain on our parts. That's God's love. And there's nothing greater in the universe. Now exists faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is what? Love. Love. And if we want to know and experience, we must acknowledge that love is completely defined by God. It's not our perception as love. It's not what we think love is. It's not how we feel about love. It's what God says and how he defines true love. And if we want to know that love, if we want to experience that love, we need to align with God's definition, God's understanding who God is. That's the only way we can know and understand and experience and give true love. I've used this picture many times, and I keep coming back to it because it is, as the Bible says, the definition of love. Jesus on the cross. This is God's definition of love. This is the greatest example of the love of God. Now, I want you to look at this picture. I know it's kind of hard to look at sometimes, but I want you to look at it because this is what love looks like. And if you ask God, God, what is love? This is it. He will point to this. In his word it says, this is it. If you want to ask him, God, how do you define love? This is it. This is the definition of love right here. If you want to ask him, what does love look like? This is it. This is what love looks like. True love. God's love. Agape love. If you want to ask, God, how do I know that you love me? This is it. This is it. How do you know God loves you? This is it. Because he did this for you. Right there. That's how you know God loves you. If you ever doubt, if you ever question, if you ever go through, crisis of faith, if you ever wonder if God loves you, you just have to look right there. This is how we know. Right there. If you want to know, God, how much do you love me? This is it. How much does God love you? This is it. This is the extent of his love for you. This is the extent he went to love you, to show you his love. This is it right here. If you want to know, God, how much do I mean to you? This is it. This is it. That's how much you mean to him. Look at that. He did that for you. That's how deeply he loves you. This is it. Right here. This is God's definition of love. This is the greatest example and act of love. Right here. I had all this other stuff. We were going to go through the passage. Maybe I'll save that for another time. I feel like I'm just going to focus on one part of the passage. I'm just going to focus on one part of the passage. I have all this teaching, blah, 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 blah. We went through the passage. Okay, we're at the end. And I actually feel like this is really the point. How do we grow in God's love? How do we grow in God's love? How do we gain more of God's love? How do we experience more? How do we show more of God's love to our spouse, to our family, to our coworkers, to our neighbors, to our friends, to our parents? How do we show more love to the people around us? And I believe this, I think this is one of my, if not the most favorite passage of mine in the Bible. Very simple passage, easy memory verse. It's 1 John 4:19. We have the ability to love. We have the love within us. We love because he first loved us. This represents one of the most powerful principles in the Word of God. It's one of the most powerful principles for us to live by. The principle is this. Whatever you need, whatever you want, whatever you want to demonstrate in your life, it has to start with God. And the principle goes like this. Something has to happen to you before it can happen through you. Another way to put it, if something has happened to you, It should happen through you, right? Some of the previous verses in the Bible, it says, if God has loved you, you should, ought to love one another. Jesus said to his disciples, love one another. How? As I have loved you. If you want to be a more loving person, if you want to experience more of the love of God, if you want the people around you to experience the love of God, you have to experience God's love for you first. The degree to which you experience the love of God for you, not just understand it in your head, but the degree to which you experience, you feel, you know, you embrace the love of God for you, that's the degree you're going to show love to other people. That's why it's not just love too. It's forgiveness, it's comfort, it's patience, it's anything that you want in your life, you have to first receive and acknowledge from the Lord to you. That's why the parable of the indebted slave, servant, right? He owed, some people estimate it to be billions of dollars to the king. The king says, you have to pay up. And then the guy begged, please have mercy on me. So the king, it said, canceled his debt. Billions of dollars. Right after that happened, the guy went out, the servant went out, and he met another fellow servant that owed him, it says, 100 denarii, which would be about 100 days' wages, several thousand dollars. And he said that the other servant asked for mercy, and then he said, no, you're going to pay every last cent. Had him thrown in prison, had his family thrown in prison until his debt was paid. The other servants saw what was going on. They say, this isn't right. This makes no sense. They told the king. The king came back at that guy and said, after all I've forgiven you, after the billions of dollars I've forgiven you, and you cannot forgive the debt of your fellow servant, you are going to the place of weeping and gnashing. Because it doesn't make sense. That's why the Bible says, forgive one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. See the principle? If you've truly understood and received the forgiveness of the Lord, you will have the power and the ability to forgive another person, because you will understand how much the Lord has forgiven you. If you are having problems forgiving someone, you know what the answer is? You have to recognize your own sin and shortcomings before the Lord and receive forgiveness for your own stuff from Him. Because if you are having trouble forgiving someone, that means inside you don't really understand how much the Lord has forgiven you, because something has to happen to you before it could happen through you. And so if you want to be a more loving person, if you want the people around you, when they meet you, to experience the love of Jesus through you, the only way to grow in love for other people is to grow in your experience and understanding of God's love for you. God's love for you. I'm going to just close by showing a clip here, because I think we'll just show it and watch it, and then I'll explain. Okay.
By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another.
What of the temple, the sacrifices, the law, the feasts? Or not keeping these, how nations will know we are God's people?
The temple, the sacrifices, the law, the feasts, all fulfilled in me.
You would do away with them?
I said fulfilled, not done away.
I don't understand the difference.
Keeping the law is a response to God's love. But now that I am here, there...
Where have you been?
You were saying about the law. What's going on? Who is this?
My sister, Mary.
Mary!
Spikenard.
Mary, what are you doing?
You're letting your sister touch his feet. That's degrading.
Have you heard nothing of what the teacher has said?
All right, this is enough. Jesus.
Once again, Shmuel. There is no law in Torah commanding that a woman cover her hair. That's just tradition.
You're commending her? Excusing her?
Shmuel, we don't know this family. It's not our place.
Blessed are you, King of the universe, for you have done all things well.
Yusuf Hernan, we need to leave.
No. Rabbi Shmuel, I understand, but we have to...
performing an inappropriate act, openly, without shame. And he is allowing it while being called God. We can't be found out for having witnessed it and done nothing.
An open investigation, you said. Let's see what he says.
Pure in heart. Of the highest quality.
What troubles you, Judas?
Why was this ointment not sold for hundreds of denarii?
You just told a story about how caring for the poor is akin to caring for the Messiah.
Yes! This could have been given to the poor. This could have been used for anything. Supplies, shelter, things we need. But this... this is a waste. Where did you get this money, Mary?
Leave her alone. She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you will always have the poor with you. And whatever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial.
Burial?
What does that mean?
Shh, let him finish.
And believe me, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her.
What your follower said is right. This act was wasteful, immodest, and completely contradicts everything you said before about the poor and lowly.
He said they will always be with us.
The very notion that such a disgrace could be proclaimed throughout the world as part of your gospel, when instead it should be reproached, rebuked, and condemned. It's... I can't be in the same room with this abomination.
Sounds like a personal problem.
I wanted to believe. I came here to give you a chance and you've ruined it.
I'm sorry I couldn't help you.
I'm sorry I couldn't help you.
Rabbi, that is not a man we want to upset if we're trying to unite our people.
Deal?
Bye. When I watched that scene, It always makes me emotional. It brings tears to my eyes. Because I wish I could love Jesus like that. There's a part of me that feels like it's wasteful. That was a year's worth of wages, a year's salary just spent in that one little act. I don't think I could have do that. But I wish I could. I wish I could show my Jesus who died, gave his life for me, unabandoned, unashamed, unhindered, extravagant, wasteful, over-the-top love. But there's only one way she could do that. Because she fully received and embraced the love Jesus had for her. She fully understood what he had done and was going to do for her. And she didn't care. She didn't care about the religious leaders. She didn't care about the money. She didn't care about anything else. All she cared about is, I want to show Jesus how grateful I am, how much I love him because of what he's done for me. And I'm sure she felt like, I wish I could do more. God made you to know his love. To feel like you are the most loved person in all the earth. Because you are. Because he wants you to be this close with him. That's his plan and purpose for you. Not that he's just by you, not that he's just over you, not that he's just with you. If we were to go into that passage, 3 or 4 times, it talks about he in us and we in him, that close. He wants you to know him and his love that close. So the only way we can show to the world the love of God is by fully, every day, acknowledging, embracing, receiving the love of God, the grace of God, the forgiveness of God. That surpasses understanding. I have the worship team coming up. And I just thought we need to have communion today. We need to have communion because communion is one way God gives us a gift, invites us in a tangible way to experience his love. Because in communion, we pour out our guts. We pour out our sin. We pour out our fears. We pour out our shortcomings. We pour it all out. And God says, yes, I love you. Look at the cross. Look at Jesus. I know that. And I completely, 100% love you. But it's not a worldly love. It's rooted in truth that his love cost him dearly. His love is rooted in the sacrifice of Jesus. But he did that because that's how much he loves you. And so let's go forward to prayer. We're going to just go to communion. Lord God, thank you. We need more of your love. Not that you haven't given it to us all fully, but Lord, take away the barriers, take away our pride, take away, Lord, our misconceptions. Show us the truth of what true love is. And Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would pour out your love in a way that we can receive it, each one can receive it in a greater way this morning. So thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. We acknowledge your presence here. We are so thankful you are here. Touch each heart, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The way we do communion is just as you feel led, we'll probably sing 4 or 5 songs. As you feel led, you could just come on up, grab communion. You could come and kneel up here if you'd like. You could go back to your seat. Feel free to minister to one another or ask for prayer if you won't need it. If you have never received Jesus Christ, this will not mean anything for you, because your first step is to acknowledge Jesus has done for you. And so I invite you, if you've never received Jesus Christ, this is the time to do it. This is the opportunity you have to do that. So you just could come up to me or Pastor Ross, Pastor Kyle, one of the leaders here. You could just come up to us and say, you know, I never received Jesus. And the kind of love you talked about, I want that. I need that. And so we'll help walk you through receiving Christ, okay? For the rest of you, just enjoy your time with the Father who loves you, okay?